Welcome to A Look in the Book. This program is brought to you by the exciting Spirit-filled Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive in beautiful North Irving, Texas, where the pastor is the dynamic Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbert will be bringing a series of messages entitled Demons and Angels. So get close to your radio and listen as Dr. Timothy J. Wilbert Sr. takes a look in the book.
Send down from glory,
many things.
There was a popular song that was entitled, Don't Let the Green Grass Fool You. But if I was going to write a song today, I would say, Don't Let the Devil Fool You. Because many Christians are being fooled by the devil. How is the devil fooling many Christians? You'll find out today as we take a look in the book.
One more time. Can you say it one more time? Bread of heaven, send down from glory.
Open up the Word of God to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, it's so good to hear those Bibles pages turning. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. When you find it, say, I got it. Amen.
Amen.
1 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 1, it says, Now the Spirit speaketh explicitly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meat which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Amen. Amen. I want to talk again from the subject, Don't Let the Devil Fool You, Part 2. Don't Let the Devil Fool You, Part 2. High five somebody and tell them Pastor gonna talk about Don't Let the Devil Fool You, Part 2. Don't Let the Devil Fool You, Part 2. This morning I want to resume our series on demons and angels. And this morning I want to look at the second part of the message on Don't Let the Devil Fool You. Because many Christians are churchgoers, don't have a happy life. because the devil done fooled them. There used to be a song out when I was a little boy that says, don't let the green grass fool you. Don't let it change your mind. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because one of the ways that the devil even fooled a little sheep, he can be in his pasture, but he sees some green grass and he'll wander away from what he have trying to get greener pastures. So it is even in the Christian life. One of the ways the devil can tempt you is he can make you leave what you already have and search for greener pastures. And the devil can fool you once you get over there. You'll see that that green grass is really not green grass. It could be artificial turf. That's how the devil fool you. The devil fool you one way is through temptation. And we talked about that in our first message, don't let the devil fool you. How the devil can fool you through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The devil will seduce you. He'll call you from where you at and show you an open door, but you don't realize that it's a trap behind the open door. And we tried to illustrate that message to you by putting rat traps behind every open door. Because what the devil does, he sets you up with temptation, and you are thinking that you're going to get something, but the devil trapped you in the process. But there's another way that the devil will fool you. He won't stop just in fooling you through temptation, but he'll fool you through a lifestyle of self-denial. And see, temptation, you overindulge in something. He'll get you going after stuff you don't supposed to have. But the devil can fool you in making you think that you're not supposed to have some stuff that God says you can have. So he can fool you on one hand with temptation, but he can fool you on the other hand with self-denial. When I look at this text, there's a couple of ways that the devil can fool you through this life of self-denial. And people often think that they are doing God a favor by denying themselves of certain things, but basically they done fell into another trap of the devil. I want to look at three of those things that the devil often tells us to deny ourselves of. Are y'all going to go with me this morning? Because there are three areas that this text seems to focus on. Now, I want to encourage you this morning, don't let the devil fool you in any three of these areas. First of all, don't let the devil fool you when it comes to hooking up. Somebody say hooking up. Don't let the devil fool you when it comes to hooking up. Look at the text. Let me start with verse 1. It says, now the Spirit speaking explicitly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Folks who used to be in of the church, they're now getting out the church. Why is that? They're taking heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of deep. They're paying attention to the wrong teachers, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. These teachers, they can tell you stuff and you'll end up hurting yourself, and they don't even have a conscience in the process. one of the things that they'll tell you at verse number 3, they'll tell you you're not supposed to get married if you're going to be a part of this religious order. They'll tell you to abstain from marriage. See, the devil can fool you by getting you to hook up with the wrong person. But he can also fool you by telling you you ought not hook up at all. And that's what he's doing right here in the text. He's telling them that you ought not hook up, you ought not get married at all. Now, why was that? Because, see, there was some false teaching that had came into the church. There was some teaching that basically said that the material world is evil. Even your material body is evil. So if you try to satisfy this flesh in any way, you are basically trying to please that which is evil. Stay with me now. So if you get married, then you're going to have sex. Well, they said that sex then is trying to satisfy the flesh. And remember, satisfying the flesh, your body, is evil. Therefore, having sex is evil. Oh, stay with me now. Remember, this ain't new teaching, because over in the church at Corinth, you can recall in 1 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, there was some folks who was already married, but they thought that it was more spiritual to not have sex. And so these married couples was abstaining from having sex, because they thought that they was being more spiritual by abstaining from having sex than from having sex. But you remember what Paul told them. Paul said, y'all better get out of the living room and go on back on into the bedroom. He said, y'all better quit depriving one another of having sex, because sex is a gift from God. And woman, you need to give your gift to your husband, and husband, you need to give your gift to your wife, lest you are setting yourself up for Satan to come in and tempt you for your inconsistency. In other words, you're playing right into the hands of the devil. In other words, you're not being more spiritual by not having sex. You're being less spiritual when you're not having sex. Do you know one of the most spiritual things you can do? Married couples now, married couples. Come on, that's it. Go ahead, preacher. Is have sex. Why? Because the two are now becoming one. Now, notice the devil's game plan here. If the devil is telling married people that it's not spiritual to have sex, and then he run over here and tell the single people it's not spiritual to have sex, so the single people no longer want to get married. The married people no longer want to have sex. So we got single people who should get married, won't get married, therefore they can't have sex. Now we got the married folks who should be having sex, not having sex. We got a world then that's not having sex.
All right.
Now, if you don't have sex, then that means we don't have no babies. So if you ain't got no babies, then that means you're not going to have no more men's and women's. So the devil now done erase man from off the face of the earth. So the devil now got this wicked, diabolical plan to destroy the human race. And folks are thinking, because they're no longer getting married, they're no longer having sex, they're being spiritual, they're playing right in the hand of the devil. And so, Paul here, he writes in 1 Timothy 4 and let us know that we are paying attention. When you're thinking that way, you're paying attention to demons, and really you're not paying attention to God. See, what the devil does, the devil sometimes is more scrickier than God is in certain areas. He wants you to make commitments that he know you can't keep. Hello, somebody. See, a case in point on that, turn over here to chapter 5 of 1 Timothy. Because we have some widow women in the church who should be getting married, but they have decided not to get married and make a vow of celibacy to work for the church. But a lot of those young women, they couldn't keep their vow of celibacy because they didn't have the gift of celibacy. And so they start running into some problems. We have the text right here at verse number 11. Paul says, but the younger widows refuse what? Refuse to put them on the widow roll. Refuse to put them on the roll that says that they can be compensated for their work there at the church. Why? He said, for when they have become wax wantsome against Christ, when they get into wanting something, they will marry. They're going to forget about they made a vow of celibacy down there at the church. He says, and guess what's going to happen? Verse 12, having damnation because they cast off their first faith. They're going to bring a curse on their life. See, the Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and don't keep a vow. See, what the devil wants to do, he wants to get married people to make a vow and then break their vow so that a curse can come on their life. But then he comes and get a single people to make a vow of celibacy, but they ain't got the gift of celibacy, so they got to break that vow, and as a result, they got a curse on their life. So do you see how the devil is trying to get even church folks to put a curse on their life? By breaking their vows. He says, having damnation because they cast off their faith. In other words, they had made this vow that they're going to live a life of celibacy unto the Lord, but they couldn't keep that vow because they didn't have the gift of celibacy. As a matter of fact, Paul said, and they really weren't doing much work down there at the church anyway. Look at what he says in verse 13. He says, and withal, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, also busybody, speaking things which they all. Now, they ain't doing too much work down there at that church house. They down there, they ain't got no job, and what they're doing, they're just being busybody. They're playing into the devil's hand and don't know it, all in the name of the Lord. Look what Paul says. I will therefore that the younger women's marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. He says some of those widow women have already followed Satan. See, rather than pursuing marriage, they are trying to pursue ministry, but they are not equipped to pursue ministry. So if you read your Bible back up here in verse number 9, Paul says, don't put a widow woman on the widow roll if she's less than 60 years old. See, what the devil will do if a person is a widow at 30 years old. Now, you can be a widow two ways. You can be a widow because your husband died, or you can be a widow because you got a divorce. The devil will try to push that person to making a religious vow of celibacy so the next 50 60, 70 years, they'll have to live a life of celibacy. Well, if you know anything about biology, when a person get around 29, 30 years old, your sex drive is going full throttle.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Amen.
Amen. And it don't start decreasing until you get around about 50 years old. Hello, somebody. Oh, yeah. So for the next 20 years, your sex drive is in gear.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Come on,
and it's moving fast, but the devil got you in an abundant situation because you made a vow at 30 years old. Even though you're 40 years old now, you made a vow at 30.
Yeah.
Even though you see this tall, dark, and handsome guy come, you done made a vow at 30. So what Paul says, rather than you making that vow so quick, he says, don't make that vow until you get about 60. When that sex drive done died down a little bit. Hello, somebody. Or as I'm helping anybody this morning. And what the devil will do with that person who's 65 and 75 and 80 years old, he'll start telling her, it ain't time yet for ministry down at the church. You need to start really kicking in gear to get married. No, that's the time to start kicking in gear for the ministry. Hello, somebody. Amen. The normal lifespan, the Bible, according to the Bible, is 70 years old, 70 and 10. And then it said, even by reason of strength, that he give you 80, which is 80 years, it says kind of tough to make 80.
Oh, yeah.
So if you're going to do something for the Lord, you better go on and kick it in gear by the time you get 60.
All right.
But the devil, you see how he twisted? He make a person who's young think about pursuing ministry who don't have the gift, and a person who basically their sex drive is down, he make them try to kick it in gear, try to pull up the sex drive. Hello, somebody. Y'all praying for me up in here this morning. Do you see, I mean, do y'all see what I'm talking about this morning? Oh, I don't know if y'all feeling me this morning. What is this right here? What is this? This is a rope. Come here. This is a rope. All right, hold your hand right here. Now, basically, when a person get married, they have tied the knot. And what the devil want to do, he want to hook you up with somebody who's not your equal.
Amen.
That y'all can be unequally yoked. Now, let's say she's a Christian, but I'm tall, dark and handsome. But I'm not a Christian. But I'm lean and looking mean, sex machine. Hello, somebody. Got a nice ride and everything. Got a little money. And I proposed to her to be my honey. And she said, yeah. And she just sentenced herself to a life of misery.
If you would like the message that you just heard, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or write the exciting, Spirit-filled Bible Way Community Baptist Church, 4215 North Greenview Drive, Irving, Texas, 75062. And if you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you're invited to worship with us this Sunday morning at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book.